Yes, indeed, such was the Viking. Too. Let's stand. Don't forget, we need to be here. Be here about 10 minutes till 2. You don't mind. Amen. This is a tobacco-free campus, but they say now, be very careful with that. And now I know the hospital's open. One thing said, oh, all of this, I have a side entrance, the river, the pastor, yeah. Some smokes in tongue. Set English smoke it from tongue. It's drug free. Back free. Any of that? Miss it. Freak. Sure. We got people to check this out, so don't sneak around. I was down there in Gadsden. Some of y'all may know Bruce Word. I went to school with him and his brother. And he landed, get them 2 hours, and he mixed up. He had a homeless place where they could go to sleep. Right there on Megan, there's Gadsden. He said, some of y'all been out there behind this building smoking welfare one. He said, if I catch you, you'll never be on this property. So they got shook up because they got to sleep there and they get there.
On nothing left can he be caught and rightly placed. I dare not trust that sweetest frame, but holy leap on Jesus' name. Oh, Christ is darling, rock I stand, all other ground is seeking sand. All other ground is seeking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor falls within the veil. Oh, Christ is solid rock I stand, all the ground is seeking sand. All the ground is seeking sand. His oath is God, not his blood, import me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Oh, Christ is solid, rock I stand, all other ground is seeking sand. Other ground is seeking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand, before the throne. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is seeking sand. All other ground is sinking.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. And what a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful Lord's Day that we're able to come. We didn't have to walk. Did anybody have to walk? Church Chick did. From a long way. Me and Chick didn't have to walk. I don't think none of the rest of it. Well, Chick did, but I didn't. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians was a wonderful church. I'm not sure if I got the book right about what was said about Ephesians, but there was really nothing bad said about this church. Church of Ephesus. I left her first. Pick that out, Revelation. I don't want nothing wrong said about me. I don't like that, but I mean, it has been. I just got word yesterday that that's okay. I mean, whatever people think about me, but what I want them to do is think it's the right thing about the Lord. And so over there, one of the funeral sellers was having to eat. I had a date for my wife, and we had a chapel. Yeah. He sat between us. That ain't true. But I walked up there and the people were there. Kenneth Patterson was doing Martha Haney's funeral. And I didn't even see Kenneth at first. I walked under that little shelter there and trying to just got out of my truck. There's a young lady sitting there and she looked at me and said, "Who are you?" I said, "I wanted to say what my mother-in-law would have said. What's it to?" But I didn't do that. I said, "My name is Roger Butler." She said, "I've heard about you." She said, "I can't remember if it's good or bad." I didn't question it much. I said, "Well, probably most of it was bad, and I hope a little bit of it was good." So anyway, a church that really, in Corinthians, that was such a carnal church that the church at Corinth, they used a term in chapter 4. I was at a funeral a while back. I'm not going to tell you when, where, whatever, but I was at a funeral, doing a funeral, and the other preacher and I, they always have to agree on who's going to do what, when. It don't matter to me. So the preacher said, "You read the scripture and I'll pray." That's what we come up with. And he said, "Read 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Then it says, there's fornication reported commonly among you." I said, "I don't really think that's the scripture you want me to read right here." She said, "I got the wrong one. Maybe 2 Corinthians. Maybe that's Corinthians 2 instead of Corinthians." Light, that spiritual light in our minds. That's what we've been talking about. There's a verse here that I'll read. It's in, I can get my mind together here. It's in chapter 5, verse 14. Paul said, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, Christ should give thee life." Father, we read this verse last week. We're working on this text. I pray that you bless us. Please open up the Word of God, which we'll never understand, and if the Spirit of God enlightens us, I pray that the Word of God will be a powerful influence. once heard a song. I listen. Would sing this song and would have whatever words to it, you know, my sweetheart and all that and whatever else it went with. And she would all, you know, the idea she'd come and look out the window, open the door there and stand in the little balcony and look down at him, salivate or whatever. But anyway, They would look at each other, just singing the love song. And she wasn't coming out. He kept singing. True story and all this, you saw, you know, song see. But the whole idea was that he said he thought. But she was sitting in there awake. It's been working. And he kept on saying, he said, awake, oh, sweetheart. Awake, you know, and it's saying. He said, listen, if we're not careful, I'm not talking about physical sleep, we will be asleep now. And I think America has been asleep, unconscious, spiritually, intellectually, mentally asleep for a long time. I believe the church, a lot of church people are asleep. Man, they don't. Why would we go asleep against our lover by him? God kept that happen. Read that verse. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, Christ give thee light. Truth is revealed by light, and light is truth. They're inseparable. There's something called an antinomy. The word antinomy is defined as two apparent truths that cannot exist together. Either one of them's got to be right and one of them's got to be wrong. It's both possibilities for those two apparent truths to exist together. And the example is sunlight. And scientists till this day disagree on whether light is made up of particles or rays. One believe rays, one believe light particles. The whole idea is, and the spirit is that they exist together to one or the other, that they're both. And so that has to do with the idea of the sovereignty of God and the will of man. Some people say they cannot exist together, but they do. Choice, choose for mankind to take sovereign God is a truth. The truth of the sovereignty of God is a truth. He is sovereign. He knows he's nothing out there. He don't determine your destiny. You just... So, but anyway, the antinomy is it this. It's the mind. The idea is it's life. Truth. See, those people, my granddaddy used to tell me, it was a learned man. He was a learned man. People used to get to help the doctors keep their animals. And while they were there, he doctored their keepers. It was something that during the China epidemic, if they some horse medicine to help them. But anyway, granddaddy told me many times, he said, so there cannot be true science. Cannot be true. There cannot be true lives with people that do not know God. There cannot be true lives like standing for transgenderism, saying that's a normal way of life, set way of life, because it's not. Those are true, that there are people that select that way of life. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable in a moral society, let alone a society that was founded on Judeo-Christian values and the Word of God. And our own founder said that our Constitution cannot be interpreted legitimately unless it is by Christian people. I thank God for a president that went by the Bible Museum and made some statements that said, we've got to stand on the Bible. And he said that. And he said also, he's got some kind of movement that's called Religious Christian Liberty, Christian Protection Movement. I just know a little bit about it, but he's established that, and thank God for that. And if our country becomes run by Muslims, we're headed for hell in a handbasket. You cannot say the Quran and the Bible are on equal terms. One is right and one is law. There is no antinomy there. Wait. Now there's something in chapter 4. In verse 17, that I'll call your attention, if I say therefore, testify unto the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. The great confusion, the great reason for so much hatred on believers, and especially people like Charlie Kirk, is they're walking not in the vanity of their minds. The word vanity means airhead. It means there's nothing there. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of blindness of their heart. Look at that word mind. There, my friend, is the ruined mind, the rotten mind, a mind that has been born into this world in a baby's head, pure in this regard, as far as empty and wanting to receive intelligible information and wanting to receive the truth. But from the moment of the womb, my friends, you need to be teaching your babies, as Paul told Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's been taught from a child. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. From a baby. One of our late grandmothers today just told me that she's singing Christian songs to a little baby that's 6 or 7 months old and is listening attentively. But you know what they're doing now? They're handing them a phone to get them out of their way now because they want to do their lives and leave their baby to themselves. God help you, your grace. You're pulling that baby towards this flesh. God help us. That's a ruined mind. That's a restricted mind. But the case of facilities now, I believe even beginning in kindergarten, have become not educational systems, but indoctrination systems with, and don't you think I don't know what I'm talking about and know the truth. There's something called the Humanist Manifesto, number one and number two. And when they took the Bibles out of school, they replaced them with what's called the Humanist Manifesto, number one and number two. The New Testament, the Old Testament, New Testament of communism, socialism, and everything else that goes along with that. So you can see it from the time I was just a kid till now, when Madeline O'Hara, one woman took the Bibles. We let one woman led the way to get the Bible and prayer out of school. And her son stood again. She exiled herself somewhere. I don't even know. I doubt she's alive right now. She got her job done to death. She certainly did. There's a restricted mind. There's a ruined mind. The child's brain is pressure. Wanting to learn. Mama, daddy are probably the next thing they need to learn. Baby Jesus prayers. Now there's a restriction. I went in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I like this verse here, this thing when we're going to come back to the first of the chapter. Be of the same mind. Hold your places, man. Romans 12. Philippians chapter 2. Hold your place, Romans 12. We're in Philippians chapter 2, and I hope you've got a Bible. If you hadn't got one, we'll get you one. And Philippians 2, if you have your places, verse 1, verse 5. Let. You know what that means? Let means what? That means you have an innate ability to let something happen or not. Allow it. Let this mind be in you. You know how to keep from having a ruined mind? Have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Do you ever think you could have the mind of Christ? He said it's available for you. My friends, at regeneration, when you're saved, you have the mind of Christ, and it's up to you to keep on having the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took him upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. One great sign of having the mind of Christ is being humble. Not being a power authority. Aggressiveness, humble. One thing I ever learned from Sammy Allen, he was one of the most humble men that I ever knew. But he was also a leader, a great leader. It's talked about all over this country to list that. John York is another humble man, one of the most humble men I've ever known. His voice told me, they said, don't think he is always humble with us. Right? Romans 12, verse, got your places there in verse 16. Be of the same mind. So we got the mind of Christ. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Here's two great admonitions. There's an admonition to have one mind towards another. We get our minds together in Christ. If a church can get their minds together in Christ, there is no limit on what God could do in that church. Mind two things here. Mind not high things. I don't know what it is about human beings, but a lot of people want to have the most important thing to say about everything. If you tell a story, they get one, they match it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. They've done it, they're there, they got something better, bigger, more important to talk about, and they could care the least what you're trying to say. So there it is. Mind not high things. And then sin to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. A conceited person is just hard to get along with. You just have to ignore somebody. Born leaders is what they think they are. Always got to. That they get their way of life. I'll tell you something else. Look, he said, condescend to men of low estate. That's low law. I bet him, knew him, casually. Oh, I bet I did. We were around years ago, after he died, I set it at the table, bring that side, inside, and set it at my table now, and I'm looking out the window, got a flower or something. About time to start reading your Bible on a regular day. I'll call him and talk to him. He talked to me and he was continuing to think. You know what was said about Lester Roloff? They said, he tries to get every drunk, dope addict, and Corpus Christi in his church. He'll go down there and bail him out, get him to come in, or whatever, you know. And he had his homes for men and women and children and teenagers. He had all those homes to help men. Oh, I want to reach some high polluters. Go get them. Yep. It's the reach anybody out here. High state or low state. What matter? Towns, look at this from other. Chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. You know what beseech means? To give them your needs. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Holy, acceptable God unto your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, you see G, good, G. You see A, acceptable. You see P and perfect, G-A-P. God said to the prophet, I sought for a man to stand in the gap for me. Stand in the gap for me. I sought for a man to stand in the gap for me. Charlie Kirk stood in the gap. The gap is a dangerous place. Can you imagine to get the truth out, to be having to have a bulletproof vest on you every time you stand in a public gap? His wife knew, he knew the possibilities and the dangers that were around him, but his little children didn't. That bothers me. Oh, that hurts. Thank you for Charlie Kirk's testimony. And thank you for the movement. And thank you for a wife that God gave the courage to stand up after his death and say the words she said. Yeah, the gap's a dangerous thing. You know, we got a few cows. You know what a gap in the fence is? A place where cows can get out. And let's just say you're standing there and you stand, and here comes mama. I mean, here comes the mama cow, or whoever. Here comes the calf. I love to see those little calves running around. Sometimes, it's drifting a little bit. I've never reached the point I want to reach, but if the Lord don't come back, we will. And it's not what I want. It's what God wants. But we have them baby calves. They're born every year. And I remember Martha come up. We had a bottle calf. Matter of fact, we had a blind calf. Was that? That wasn't that blind calf. Remember that blind calf? Okay, I got that letter you wrote down in college where y'all had to write an essay. And Katie wrote it. Me and her went to the cattle sale together when she was a little girl, and a blind calf came out, and we bought it. You remember that, don't you? We had calves, and some of them, when their mamas would die or whatever, we'd have to give bottles. And, oh, Martha, you're a country girl, ain't you? So she got up there, and she wanted to feed one of them calves with a bottle, and they turned that calf loose, and Martha was walking across the way with that bottle, and that calf took out after her because it knowed the bottle. There's Martha running. Help! Recalls! You remember that, Martha? You was picking up. I didn't know you could run that fast. All that baby wanted was this bottle. I like to see them. Zachary, I mean, we'd play around with them calves. My boys would get out there and you know, and you've heard me tell a story, but I'd just sit on the feed bucket and I'd sit out there and my cows would make a circle around me. You know that. You know it. And I'd go, Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where it never is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. The cows would look at me and go, more. So I'd sing it again. So the boys would get out there. I don't know if Levi and Seth did this, but I know the other three did. They'd get out on their hands and knees with those calves and butt heads. You. We heard Zachary hollering one day. He was picking on one that weighed probably about 400 pounds. Zachary was trying to climb the roof of the farm. I mean, the wall. Zachary was screaming. It's dangerous to stand in the gap. You put your life in danger when you stand in the gap. You put your friendships in danger. You know, people say, we find out. I found out a couple of years ago who some of my friends really, really were not. But that's okay. That's another story. But it's good to have friends. But when you get serious about Christianity, that just might reduce your social gatherings and your friend. It might cut them down to where the rubber meets the road. You'll find out who your real friends are when you stand in the gap. Dangerous place. It could limit your job. I mean, you stand in the gap in your job. Now I hear these people, well, just play the game. I ain't good at playing games. I don't play games with people. I don't. I remember in the insurance business, I didn't get rich by no means, but I fed 9 kids and my wife and sheltered us and paid for a home selling insurance. And I thank God for that opportunity. But they would have projections to be made, and they want us to go up and sign the board and show us what we were going to do the next cycle, what we were going to be. And they want us to commit and make it happen regardless. They were studying me. I had a green suit. It was, what do you call that? What do they call them little guys in the video? So, leprechaun. It was leprechaun green. There was a man, I'll call his name in a minute. He went to Nepal to be a missionary, and he gave me a Yankee screwdriver, which had a spring in it, and you just. Oh, that's great. So anyway, he gave me that green suit, and I wore it. And I wore it, and I broke records the first week I was a friend. Got the cargo come down when he paid me. I bought 13 for them over in Scottsboro. And for me, he got my mom from in from the nerve. You know what he told my mom? He said, Paul said, his son, he sold 100 units over. Let him blame it. But they would call the brightest. I never saw him before. fabrication. It was, we call it later on shooting for the stars. It'd be one age to get up there and someone sell a thousand units. They wouldn't sell to me. They were playing the game. We don't need to play games. We need to be more. And I'm at next. The Lord lets me. I'm not just talking about a ruined, talk about a revered. When you got saved, you were regenerated. Re means to do it again. And genomai means birth. And that means you were born again. There's something inside of you. You have a born again mind. And the flesh is still there. For life. Graduated me. Thank you to many friends. I don't know how he did it. Thank you for praising. It says we want to promote the Bible. We want to protect. Really safe. So be born the bloods of the martyrs. Save yourself. New mind. You can be saved. Why? You can be saved. Hell is real. 1 split second after somebody dies, if they're lost, they'll realize the feeling if they're too late. I pray now they're taking that feeling wherever the gospel spreads. They're saved even here. We're saved and saved. Pray to those believers. Mind is real. Oh, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Come on now. The Lord's touched your heart. You move forward. Will no one join me till I
till I will stop. No turning back.
Amen. Obey the Lord now. Leave out of here renewed, revived. And if you're lost, leave out of here saved. Saved. Born again. Regenerate. Start life all over anew. My sister. Okay. Brother. Father, we thank you for the time we've been able to spend together. Lord, it goes by so quickly. And I pray that, Lord, that you've been able to help some people through your work. They've allowed you into their life. We thank you for the good word of God. We thank you for your presence. Bless us as we go our way, I pray. In Jesus' name.